What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
This week, I'm in a very important place, the St. Louis Kaplan Feldman Holocaust Museum, and I am here with Myron Friedman, the director, and our director of education here, Helen Turner. And forgive me if I'm a little emotional, because I've just been through the museum, and it's very difficult in some ways to get through it, because it's very touching, and there are photos and sounds and sound bites from people from long ago. And anyway, I'm just taking a breath for a minute, but I appreciate you guys sitting down with me, because I really did want to come here and let people know that it's here. So let's start with why it's here and a little bit of the history.
Sure. This is Myron Friedman. The history of the museum goes back to the really more than 30 years. They started collecting oral histories in the 1980s, and in the 1990s they established the museum as inside the Jewish Federation here in Creve Coeur. Years later, they raised funds and established an entirely new building and renewed the museum. That opened in 2022. It's an incredible resource. It tells the story of the Holocaust, but it also offers other experiences, and it's really here for the entire community.
I should probably say, where exactly are we?
Well, we're on the JCC campus, the Millstone campus. It's on Schutz Road near Lindbergh. It's in technically unincorporated Creve Coeur, but it's in Creve Coeur.
Helen, you were telling me that this museum speaks through survivors of the Holocaust who came to St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about that.
Certainly. Well, first, I actually really want to acknowledge just your feelings coming out of the museum, because I do think it's such a powerful space, and that any reaction is always a beautiful one to have, and I just want to hold some space for you with that. But I think the reason it's so powerful is because it is the voices of St. Louis survivors. We wanted to make sure that when you're in the museum, you're not hearing, you know, from an outside source, but that you actually hear from the survivors themselves about their experience, making this global history incredibly local and incredibly personal.
And how many survivors did come to St. Louis?
That's a good question. When we opened the museum originally in the 1990s, they had assumed about 300. But then when we opened on opening day in 2022, we had about 800 names of survivors. And now we're tipping over 900. So it's a hard number to get, because not everybody comes to us and lets us know. But what we do know is that it's a really thriving and strong Jewish survivor community here in St. Louis.
And what was the idea behind the museum in the first place? What story exactly did you want to tell?
Well, I think you have to go back to the survivors and wanting to memorialize their experiences. And it came at a time when you saw films like Schindler's List come out, that sort of thing. And so this was another effort to make sure we didn't lose this important story. I mean, the ultimate lesson of the Holocaust is never again. And so this museum is here to invite people in to engage with this very difficult history, this complex history, and to reflect on their own actions in this world, and to be a contributor to that concept of never again.
How is the museum supported? Because this is a beautiful building, and the exhibits are gorgeous, and, you know, obviously heartbreaking in some ways, but also just beautiful to walk through. So where's the support come from?
Well, our support is it's fairly widespread. I mean, it's definitely supported by many, many members of the region and the community. Even the state got involved with supporting the new museum. We have also a membership program here that has members coming in at a variety of levels, including these upper levels, what we call the guardians. And by guardians, we mean they're really guardians of the history, guardians of the testimony of the survivors. And so everybody who joins as a guardian becomes a pillar of support for this community.
Helen, tell me about the education aspect of the museum.
Well, certainly. So, you know, the museum is very focused on education and making sure that, A, we can reach as many students in the region as possible and that they're really getting the core, both lessons and questions of the Holocaust. We want them to learn the history, what happened, and we really want to help them become thoughtful question askers. You know, why did this happen? Who did it? What motivated them? And so I think education is one of our biggest drivers here, and it's not just for students. When we say education, we really mean everybody who walks through our doors, be you 10 years old or 102. We cannot wait to welcome you, and we really want you to be impacted by this incredible resource.
I want to go back to the support question, because we do have some critically key supporters here. The building is called the Kaplan Feldman Holocaust Museum, and the Gloria Kaplan Feldman family is a major contributor, along with Michael Steinberg and the Steinberg Foundation, also key supporters that have made this possible.
Tell me about the connection to Kaplan Feldman, because I believe there was a photograph in the exhibit about that.
So Gloria Kaplan Feldman is a Holocaust survivor. She and her husband Ruben started a foundation, and ultimately Gloria wanted to make sure that the story of the Holocaust, the memories of survivors and their testimonies would be here forever, and that students and general public could engage with it through the experiences that we have here at the museum.
On the education aspect, I believe I heard the number 13,000 students might have been here this year already. A large number of students.
A very large number of students. You know, it's been a wild ride. We're almost 3 years old. And when the museum opened, the Holocaust mandate was passed here in the state of Missouri.
Okay, I didn't know about this. Holocaust mandate. Tell me about that.
So the Holocaust mandate states that students in grades 6 through 12 need to have instruction in the Holocaust during their education, which has been just a fantastic way for the museum to have a lovely hand to reach out to different schools all across the state to make sure that every school knows that we are here as a resource. Mandates can be both phenomenal and complicated, and we want to make sure that people know that we're actually here to really, really help. So we've seen unprecedented numbers of students. Last year we were bursting at the seams, which is fantastic. And we've had a nice rest over the summer, but we are ready for the school year to start again.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Walking through the exhibits, there definitely was a timeline, a story being told. And so could one of you walk me through what that story is and how it breaks out?
Sure. So, you know, we really wanted visitors to get the sense of what was the groundwork for the Holocaust. So our first galleries really deal with who did it impact, looking at our Jewish community and humanizing them. Oftentimes the Holocaust is reduced to these massive statistics, you know, the 6 million Jews that were murdered, the 1.5 million children. I say these numbers almost every day, and after a while you don't feel anything. So the point of the beginning of the museum is to tell you who are behind those numbers. They're people just like you and I, who had families and dreams and got into fights with people, you know, thought about, you know, who they had big crushes on. They were just like us. And then because of this concept of anti-Semitism, this hatred, they were othered so much to the extreme that they were completely dehumanized to the point where they were murdered in the millions. So we begin there with that framework. And as we walk through the exhibition, the exhibit is really carefully designed that you move from color, sort of these bright colors of the purple and the yellow, but you follow this gray line that brings you into the heart of the Holocaust. And you really see that line as almost like a descending of what we call the museum, the spiral of hate, which is how you move from words and from bias and stereotype. And as that is normalized, you move further into discrimination, which in the Nazi space was to pull Jews out of the fabric of society, with segregation, which they took here from the United States, with race laws as they manipulated Judaism into being a race. And then you see kind of the final descent Into Darkness, which is where we really talk about the camps, the killing centers, the massive mechanism of the Final Solution. But the museum also does the work of, we cannot leave people there. It's not where the story ended. We come all the way back out into the choices of individuals. So again, to sort of humanize what motivated all of the people in the story. And then we sort of burst into this beautiful blue, which is how we come back to kind of reclaiming life, how the survivors got busy with the business of living, and also how they made their homes here in St. Louis. So it really is a full narrative arc to take you from the life before, what happened during, and then also sort of the strength and the triumph of the Jewish community here in the aftermath.
And some of the things that I found incredible was, at the end, the photographs of all or many of the survivors who came here to St. Louis, and then the names of all the ones that you know about that are on this digital wall that keep playing. I mean, that's very moving to see.
You saw the photographs at the end of all of the families once they had reestablished themselves after the Holocaust, got married, had children. Many of them met in a displaced persons camp and started their relationships then. And continued to build their families. And here in St. Louis, you know, thousands and thousands of Jews were able to make their homes. And then you can contrast that with the family pictures you saw at the beginning. Same thing. People had their families. They had their lives. They had their culture and their religion. They had everything that we all enjoy today. And it got wiped out, only to find that resilience at the end and to rebuild.
And I don't want to forget, downstairs, I got to see a special exhibit that's going on now, and I thought that was really cool. Dresses made by someone from the Holocaust. Can you explain that one?
So we have a special exhibit gallery, the Carpati Gallery, and we are able to bring in exhibitions and produce our own exhibitions that provide a range of experiences here at the museum. So if you've seen the Holocaust exhibit, or if you're interested in things in addition to the Holocaust, we're going to provide those experiences too. And so right now we have Stitching History in the Holocaust. And this is the story of Hedy Sternad, who was a dress designer and a dressmaker in Prague. And in the 1930s, seeing what was happening around them, she and her husband wanted to make their way to America to find work there so they could escape what was going on. So they sent their dress designs to family in Milwaukee. And then they tried to get out, and they were unsuccessful. They ended up both perishing in Auschwitz.
There's also an interactive exhibit where you can put your circle of people, like yourself and family and friends and coworkers and et cetera. And what's the point of that?
The point is to really get us to think critically. And I really think that's so much a key of the museum. The museum is here to help us ask really good questions. So when we say, you know, why didn't more people speak out or speak up? Well, what was at risk? And when you look at that circle, when you think about who's in your inner circle, you know, for me, it's, you know, me, dad, husband, brothers. Those are the people I would do anything to protect them. And if something threatened those people, I would have to ignore anything else that needed my attention. I would focus on that group. And so it shows that when you really look at human beings and the choices that we make, we protect what's dear. And so we're trying to help people to connect to larger communities and see that we all might need help in a different situation. What does it mean to be an ally? There are consequences for being an ally. And also not to just shame and blame bystanders of the past, but to complicate them and rehumanize and see ourselves in our own decisions as well. It's one of my favorite parts of the exhibition.
Another thing that stood out was the suitcase. Can you explain that one, Myron?
Right. Well, you talked about the suitcase and the fact that, you know, we have a great support network here. Well, it really began with the survivors, and they're wanting to preserve their stories. And so the suitcase belongs to Leo Wolf, who was one of the founders of the museum. And he was on one of those infamous death marches, and he managed to survive. He then later was able to make his way to St. Louis, and he packed all of his belongings into a suitcase, and in very large letters, probably using, it looks like, black paint, he wrote, you know, St. Louis, Missouri is where this suitcase is going. Don't mistake it. But he was new to the whole, he was new to this move, and so he didn't know how to spell Missouri, so he spelled it in an interesting way. It's just a testament to, he didn't really know where he was going. He just knew that he was about to enter a new life.
Myron, Helen, thank you so much for inviting me here. It's been a real experience, and I appreciate the time. I know you guys are busy, and the St. Louis Kaplan Feldman Holocaust Museum, come see it. It is something to experience and learn, and thank you.
Thank you.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report. He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.